Turn to Proverbs 4:21. I'm going to try to cover three verses tonight, Lord willing. Proverbs 4:21 says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." So the "them" that is being referred to here are Solomon's words of wisdom that he said there in verse 20. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." So now he's exhorting his son to not let the words, his words, depart from his eyes. To depart is to go apart or away with its derivative senses. It is to go asunder, to part or separate from each other, to take leave of each other. So in other words, don't let wisdom's words leave your eyes. Keep your eyes on wisdom's words, on God's words. So the eyes can refer to a couple of different things. The eyes can refer to the understanding, which is true that we don't want to let the words depart, the words of God depart from our understanding. If you look in Ephesians 1 and verse 18, it does refer to the understanding in terms of eyes. Ephesians 1 and verse 18 says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." And I know I've said this before, but when you think about the eyes of the understanding, whenever somebody tells you something, and what do you say? "I see," right? So you're seeing with your understanding. And this is true. We don't want to let our understanding of the Word of God slip. And we're told this in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, that we want to make sure and keep the Word of God in our minds, in our understanding. And we don't ever want to lose that, because I know I've seen it and you've seen it. We've seen people that the understanding has slipped away, that whenever they turned from the Lord, then the Lord turned the lights out, turned out the lights of understanding. And they, like a dog to their vomit, go right back to the same false doctrine that they once believed in. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That's kind of like letting them depart, right? So we don't want to let them depart, the things that we have learned from the Word of God. But then there's also a more basic lesson here as well. Solomon said that we're not supposed to let the words depart from our eyes. So if Solomon's words were not to depart from his son's eyes, then that indicates that the words that he gave his son were written down, that they weren't just merely spoken. And I just thought that was just an interesting point, because it is through the written word of God, not through oral tradition, that God has chosen to make known his will to us. See, in the Jewish religion, in Judaism, they put a lot higher price on the oral tradition than on the Word of God. They pay lip service to the Word of God, but really what they believe in is the oral tradition. Now, the oral tradition ended up being written down, but in the days of the Pharisees, when Jesus was condemning the Pharisees for their traditions, what he was condemning them for was what was called the Mishnah. That was the oral tradition that they claimed was given to Moses on Mount Sinai, along with the written word of God. That God also gave Moses these teachings orally, and he passed them down, and then they ended up in the Pharisees' hands, so to speak. And those were the things that they were majoring on, like the Korban thing, right? When Jesus condemned them for that, when they weren't taking care of their parents, they'd come up with this tradition that you give everything you have to the temple indeed, and then if your parents need some money to help them out in their old age, well, I've already committed it all to the temple. It's Korban. It's a gift. I can't help you out. That was the orally transmitted traditions of the elders. The Catholic Church, likewise, relies heavily on oral tradition, right? They have scripture and tradition with a capital T, and they're at least equal. I think they'll say that they're equal, but really when it comes down to it, the capital T tradition trumps the scripture when the two come into conflict, and they normally come into conflict. So typically speaking, if you're trying to argue with a Catholic, doing it from the Bible is very hard to do. because that's not what the Pope says, that's not what the priest says, that's not what my bishop says, and they are the ones that God has given to interpret his word. And if it's not according to what they say, then it can't be right. They're following the traditions. So they're following the oral word of, supposedly oral word of God. But Solomon here wrote down his words. He says, let not the words depart from thine eyes, not from thine ears, but from thine eyes, like we're reading them on the page. So we must keep our eyes set on those words by reading them in our Bible regularly. I'll just give you a verse here, which talks about the word of God and using one's eyes. Psalm 119 and verse 148. Psalm 119, 148. There's a lot of false religions that rely on verbal, oral tradition. Another one is Freemasonry. All of the rites of Freemasonry are not to be written down. When they go through the degrees, the degree work, when they become the entered apprentice and the fellow craftsman, I think it is, and the master mason, and that's the first three, and then there's up to at least 32 or 33, but all that stuff is not to be written down. It's to be memorized, and that's what the masons do. They spend all this time, and they memorize all these things, and then they transmit it down that way. But that's not the way that God has chosen to reveal his word. Psalm 119 and verse 148. It says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Prevent means to go before. So I'm guessing he's saying that he's getting up before it's time to go and have a night watch, right? Because there would be men it would be their job to have a watch throughout the night to watch out for enemies or something. They prevent the night watches so that he can meditate on the word. So he's choosing to look at the word of God with his eyes before he goes on to the night watches, which I think is what that verse is talking about. Anyway, that's the way I can make sense of it. And then he says there, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. In Proverbs 4 and verse 21. So we must hide the word in our heart. Keep it in the midst of thine heart. Psalm 119:11. This is the best place to keep the word of God. Keeping it in your house is good. Keeping a copy in your car is good. I have my, what I used to call my bus Bible, now it's my car Bible. It's the same layout as this Bible, only it's way smaller. Hard to read as I'm getting my nearly middle-aged eyes. But anyway, it's nice. I just keep it right in the back seat. And then if I'm somewhere, I can just pull it out and I have it. So it's good to have it in those different places. It's even okay to have it on your phone, you know, because if you don't have anything else with you, you can always get an access to it there. But you know the best place to have it? In your heart, in your memory, because they can never take that away from you. You know, the Gestapo can come in and take your Bible from you, God forbid. But they can't take it out of your heart. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So it's important, if we don't want to sin against God, if we want to please him and keep his commandments, we have to have those commandments in our heart. Because if you didn't know, if you didn't have any of the Bible memorized, or even any of the concepts in the Bible, any of God's commandments memorized, and it's all in the book, and every time you have a thought and you're like, well, I feel like stealing something, but that seems like it's okay with me, you know, that's not going to work out. You're not going to go home and get your Bible out and read the whole way through it to see, oh, should I steal something or not? If you have that hidden in your heart, right, you're not going to do that. Solomon said, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So the words of God should be in the midst of our hearts, not in the corner of our hearts. Midst means the middle point or part, the center, the middle. So if the word is in the midst of our heart, it means it's right there in the very middle of it. Like it's the focus, it's the main thing that should be in that heart. And then the heart of man is in the center of his being. So you have the hearts in the center of our being and the word of God's in the center of our heart. So what's that tell us? This is showing us that implicitly that the word of God should be the center of our lives. Not off in the corner of our lives somewhere, but it should be our main focus. And I'll just give you one illustration. Not that I'm any kind of a sports authority here whatsoever, but I have watched a football tour game in my life. And typically whenever a football player gets the ball and he's running with it, is he running with it like this, with his holding in his hand out so it can easily be taken or fumbled or something? No. What's he do? He takes it and he puts it in his heart. Basically, he gets that thing right up in his chest and holds it close to his center so that there's the least possibility of it slipping or departing from him. And we should do the same thing with the scripture. It should be near and dear to our hearts, right in the center of our person. So that takes care of Proverbs 4 and verse 21.